see myself, so that you know a little bit about my background. And I did title this, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? And I'm going to let you sort of perk on that a little bit. You may have been thinking about the title already. And I'll explain where I got the title a little later on in the session, and maybe it'll make more sense. Howdy. Well, first of all, for some of you, my name is Cindy Henninger. I'm from Bellingham, Washington, and I went to Western Washington University. I have a degree in vocal performance from Western, and I have a degree in elementary education. I hope I don't slip into my elementary education mode as I'm dealing with everybody this morning. Right now, I am employed at my church as a church musician, and I do choirs and worship music and stuff like that at my church. They're going to keep each other warm. I'm also teaching private voice, just a little bit right now. I just have a few students, and I enjoy working one-on-one with people. I'm a part-time elementary music teacher up in Ferndale, which is north of Bellingham. And what else do I do? I have a community choir, a fledgling group of adults, and we do all styles, all of the spectrum. They like to do really new music and ethnic music and folk music and traditionally classical music, and so that's kind of a challenge for me too. And I also have a music company called Henninger Enterprises, and I schedule gigs. Anything from like funerals to art shows to formal dinner parties.
Sounds pretty ups.
It is. It's pretty fun. That's really a neat experience. That Rotary. I sang at the Rotary. That was really neat. But anyway, so that's kind of what I do. It's a lot of little part-time music things all put together, rolled in one. And I'm a mom, to a full-time mom, which is my big thing. So. I want you to all to feel free to stop me at any point of this morning and ask questions, or we can get into anything. I mean, since we're a small group, we can just kind of go whichever way you'd like to go. And I hope I have the answers to whatever you want to bring up. If I don't, though, I'm going to be really honest with you and just say, well, rather than rambling or trying to fake it. We're going to spend the first little while working on some vocal technique. And then we're going to get into some different vocal styles, talk a little bit about that, and that's where the title comes in. So to begin, I'm trying to think, because we have this big brick thing in the middle, I'm trying to think, actually, I'll come to you. I'm going to have you stand up a little bit and sitting down, and these chairs are pretty good for what we're going to do. So we'll just kind of stay where you're at. We're going to do some vocalizing and you know, just as a group. I don't want you to feel like you're going to be under pressure. I hope you're telling you verbally in one sentence something to do and make you all into singers. And I'll explain why here, hopefully, as I go along. I just want to give you a quick overview of kind of vocal technique. But I mean, quick, this is 3 minutes long. And then I'm actually having to do some stuff so you don't get too cold. The way I see it, our voices that we all in this room at least possess are musical instruments. They are an actual instrument. They are part of our body, but they are very delicate instruments, and we all possess them. The way that sound is produced, or musical sound specifically, is produced is that an air channel flows. This is very basic. Up out of your lungs, across your vocal cords, and causes them to vibrate. And the sound comes up into your head and resonates on your the hard parts of your head, like your teeth and your skull and your sinuses. And so it spins around, and the sound waves come out your mouth, and then whatever happens and how you're built, you know, means that you're going to get a certain sound out. Jeff was talking a little bit about nasal sound, and what's so interesting and neat about vocal or singing is that no two voices are alike, just like snowflakes, and it depends on how we're built. you know, what kind of jaw you have affects your singing voice. So I find that very fascinating. To train the voice or strengthen the voice, it's like training a part of your body for a new activity or a new sport or something like that. And that's why I say, I can't say it in a sentence and have you do something and boom, there you go. It takes a lot of muscular strength and vocal support, you've probably heard people talking about that before, to produce a sound that is pleasing to your ear or others. And it takes a long time to change the way sound is produced in your particular voice, and it takes a lot of practice. So it's like, you know, picking up an instrument or like, I'm not learning to play the piano. Can you teach me today? I'll take a piano lesson and I'll be done. Can't do that. You can't do that with computers or anything else. And sometimes people think that just because we can all talk, we can all sing. Well, in a sense, that's true. But it might not be the particular sound that you want to make, or it might not be the particular style that you want to make. Kind of dark, so I'm very familiar with it. I want to recognize, have us all recognize that because our voice is part of our body, it becomes a very personal instrument. It's not an instrument like a clarinet or a saxophone. It is a wind instrument, your voice, but it's not an instrument that you hold in your hand and then you can put it down. Or you can say, I was telling Vermont this the other day, you can say, well, that trumpet made that bad noise. No, not me. It was the bell and the trumpet. If a voice coach or a choir director or something tells you something about your voice, they're saying something about you personally and your body, and that's really a sensitive thing. It's a very personal thing. So it's tough to get past that. It's really natural for you to feel self-conscious or silly about your voice. Some people, well, I only sing the shallow. You know, that's very natural because, again, it's your body. And so it's kind of tough to get past that. But once you can get past that, it's easier to work on things. It's the old adage, what you don't lose. No, wait, I said it backwards. What you don't use, you lose. You've heard that before. And that's really true with your singing voice. If you don't use it a lot, then it's very weak. And it's, you know, and you're not going to be able to hear maybe the quality or quantity of something you want. Okay, today I want you to hopefully feel real relaxed and just let's all try and be very supportive of each other. I'm not going to turn you all into solo singers or anything, but I do want you to do some practical stuff here, not just sit here and listen to me talk for an hour. So we're going to spend some time warming up our voices and getting to know your voice or what you think your voice is. So Ted came in at the perfect time. You missed the introduction and all the, you know, the wordy stuff. But now we're actually going to do something.
So that's the hacker stuff. You're ready.
Yes.
Timing is important.
All right. Could I have you all stand up just in a comfortable spot for you? And if you're tired or, you know, kind of, you really needed to do some stretching this room. I'm just having a hard time getting going this morning. So just kind of wake up your body in any way that you feel you can, stretching your arms, relaxing your shoulders. The big one is to relax your neck. Try not to make circles all the way around, because that can really hurt your neck, but just kind of, that might feel good.
You know, where does it hurt your neck if you're going around the back too much?
I think people tend to snap if they do that exercise where you know you're really pulling on your muscles and you're going all the way around. They always tell you to go, you know, almost 360 degrees and turn around and get away.
Oh,
and I have a particular spot in the back that I can snap almost every time. Okay, so are we kind of loose? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Okay, now everybody dance. Okay. Anyway, also I want you to find where your ribs are. So many layers, huh? We all do. Where are our ribs? Okay. And just take a couple deep breaths. Just kind of deep, relaxed breathing. And hold it. Just do it. Okay. Oh, that feels good. Okay. Now, a good posture when you're singing, or when you're, you know, in worship, even singing,
is just to sit on the front edge of your chair. So I'm going to let you sit down again, lest you feel like we're going to start singing opera or something. But don't lean against the back like this, because that's going to collapse your whole breathing rate. But just kind of sit forward. These nice cushions are. Okay, and your feet flat on the floor, your legs kind of a little bit apart, so that you're feeling really
solid. Yes, we're all in the seated posture.
Okay, now when you're feeling all solid and strong and strengthened, you know, down in here, the other trick is to make sure that your shoulders and your back is relaxed, because there's a myth when people sing, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, their lungs go up and right in here, and so when they breathe, they go, and that's obviously not helping anything, is it? It's just, I don't know why we do this. We just do. It's tension or something, or your body feeling like you have to move somehow, but your lungs are here, so your shoulders can really be relaxed, and you can be super relaxed. All right, I'm going to zip over the piano, and with all you, don't move. Don't breathe, don't move. And I'm going to have us just do make some sounds. And what we're going to do is just try singing whoo, because humming is really tough. Some of us, and it bugs you. Does it bug any of you to hum? Kind of tickles your, or if your nose is stuffed up, blah. So you just open your mouth a little bit. It's sort of a hum with a mouth open, like whoo, like that. And let's just do a little bit of looking around. I'm going to try and, the reason I'm using the piano is I'm going to try and ask you to get in the vicinity of the pitches that I'm playing. Some of you will be right there, but it may be way out of your range. I might be playing something that's way too high for you or way too low for you. So just get in that basic vicinity of whatever you hear, all right? And let's just fool around a little bit. And we're going to do this. Just take a nice breath and sing. And I'm just letting some sound come out my mouth. I'm not doing anything else, okay? To make high sounds in your voice, your vocal cords just have to vibrate faster. That's the only thing that differentiates high from low. And when you're making low singing sounds, your vocal cords are vibrating slower. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But we don't think about that. And so sometimes when we're trying to do high stuff, we try to do it with our bodies in other ways, like, you know, like this kind of thing. Have you seen people do that before? And they're like, they're singing, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. And they can't, you know, they're trying to get it like it's up there on the ceiling. And basically, if you think about that in detail, what you're doing when you're trying to stretch up somehow and find some note hanging from the ceiling is you have lifted your you've closed your neck off because you've gone like this, and the air passage in your neck has become smaller because you've stretched yourself out. So wouldn't it be obvious that if you wanted to make a high sound, you should actually bring your, just doing it, your head down? Because that would open. Oh, that was good. Burping is good. Singers always burp. Anyway, wouldn't that be obvious? And isn't that funny that we don't think about that? It's just not a reaction we have. But, you know, if I look down, I can really open my throat up, and then I can make the sound just come out of my throat and kind of spin around up in my head rather than, ouch, that hurt. Okay, so anyway, that's kind of another subject, but I just wanted to bring that up. Let's do some sliding around with our voice. We don't need the piano for this. just try to see if you can shoot the sound waves up in your head by doing something like this. Ha! 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 Instead of ha! Ha! My sound is just coming. Da-da-da. But ha! I wanted to get it up into my head. Does anybody have a cold? You're stuffed up. This can really clear the sinuses. So try that. Do this. Right. Oh man. Whoa, that was cool. That's what you do to sing opera. It almost feels like it's gonna come out my eyes or something. Okay, let's do some low sounds and see how that feels. Okay. Did you feel? Where was that coming from? What? Where did it?
I feel it in the chest.
Yeah, listen to your voice, dude. Where did that come from?
Not
here. Yeah, right in here. Yeah. Right, right. How about? Did you do anything with your stomach? Do it again. See if there's anything with your stomach. Do you feel like, does it sort of feel like a masculine thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay, yeah, what you're doing is, you know, your muscles were tightening, I think, and your stomach might sure work, to get that sound to kind of come out like that, to sound so cool. And my diaphragm, I'm sure, was really just going for it. It's a little kind of a trap door sort of thing, like this. And when we do stuff like that, it does its little trapdoor thing. I'm real scientific, aren't I? Yeah, I've always been. I don't know how I got through school. Okay, anyway, let's do some high stuff and see where that comes from. We decided the low stuff must come from chest and stuff grabbing and all that, but you know, who knows? Let's find out. Okay, so like, try that. Will you feel more comfortable? You just look at me and go, ooh, she's weird. Can you feel vibrations or a pressure anywhere? Your ears, right in here? Okay, anywhere else? What does that feel like? Yours is good. What does that feel like?
I can feel pushing out of the ears.
Yeah, okay. Good, you're probably stuffed up. How about right in here, anybody?
Yeah.
Vibrating right here? As to actually feel pressure right here. Really go for it. Yes! We're gonna have a little choir on Sunday. Okay, so anyway, what I'm just trying to get you to realize is that when we're producing these sounds, we're shooting the waves different spots in our body and we're letting them just resonate. We're just letting them resonate off of your body. You say like, no way. That's why people think singers are weird. Because they
come on down. Come on down.
Bit it. Okay. So anyway, it's a lot of fun to play around with your voice and to do things like that. And that is honestly where people start. If they say, I'm going to
train my voice and I'm going to become a great singer of some sort.
And so that is honestly what you do. There are many coaches that do not let their students sing a note for a year or 2 years. They do not sing a note. They can produce sounds like this. They can do percussive and vowel purity, clarity things, but they do not sing
actual, what we call singing.
What would be an example of a vowel there?
Oh, yeah. He's the peanut gallery.
The heckler.
Good question.
Yes. When you sing, and this is another thing that's very obvious, but hopefully I'm just bringing this up to the front part of the brain. When you sing, you are producing sound on vowel sounds, not consonants. Let's take the letter T. Can you sing doing a T, just a T? You went T. So he was singing on what? Okay, but you can't make a singing sound when you go T.
Sure.
M. Yes. M is one. Yeah. It's not a percussive consonant. You can do it. There are just a few, but a P is a percussive consonant because you can't go. You can't make a singing sound come out. So on the opposite end of that spectrum, what I'm trying to say is that to produce singing sounds, you need to use the vowels, or there's a few consonant sounds like an M. I almost feel like you can do it on a Z, but am I putting any vowels when I go Z? That's kind of a singing sound. It tickles too. What I mean by purity or clarity of a vowel is just using one sound to make your singing, to let your singing noise only be one sound. Particularly in the Pacific Northwest, but all of us who speak English, and I know you know this, Elizabeth, we are terrible as far as making a one pure sound. We put 25 sounds and sort of string them all together and think that sounds really cool. And those are called diphthongs when you put like three or four vowels together. And what would be a good example? Hey, how you doing? You know, we just kind of string a bunch of stuff together. And that's not pleasing to the ear when you're singing. You know, if you're singing like, I went to the, you know, okay, it sounds a little country western, doesn't it? That is very true. That's very much what they do. They chew on the vowels, and that's how they get that particular style. So now you all know how to sing country western music. But in order to just get a very plain, pure singing sound out, you need to only use one vowel sound. Let's take E because it's easy, okay? And just go E. Can you feel, what are you doing? What are your muscles doing? What's your voice doing when you're singing E? E. Do you feel vibration anywhere? Pressure anywhere? Anyone? Your throat.
Throat singers, uh-oh, you're going to need some more.
Yeah, that would be true. Because there's a lot of tightening that needs to happen in there. Good, up in here? Yeah, that means you're placing the tone nice and high. That's good. I felt like my top teeth were sort of tingling when I did that. Or let's try another note. How about how about the roof of your mouth? Yeah? It kind of depends. What's going to vibrate or what's going to tingle is going to depend on what, you know, if it's a high frequency or a low frequency, what you're vibrating. But anyway, it's interesting to play around with that, to play around with making just a pure sound. E, ah is a pure sound. O, oo, but not A, because A is A, a whole bunch of them strung together. So you can't just use a vowel. It can't be any word or any letter. But E, O, U are very pure. And so you'll hear choirs singing, E, me, ma, ma, mu. Oh, they put A's in it, don't they? E, O, U. And they're just kind of going through vowel sounds, kind of experiencing itself. How does it feel to produce those sounds? Okay, I'm kind of getting off the beaten track here. Thank you for your question, Mr. Heckler. Okay. I want to talk just a little bit about breathing for a second. And I always thought breathing was real boring. That was a boring part of singing. You know, why do we have to talk about support, diaphragm? You know, why is this so important? But then I started to realize that without that air, without that strength below the singing sound, you really don't have anything. You don't have any voice. This is where people end up with vocal problems, notes, or a scratchy, rough feeling or sound to their voice. Rod Stewart?
Wake up, maybe I think I'm
new. You know, he's barely, there's barely any singing voice there anymore. It's all just sort of, or Bob Dylan, there's another one. It's just sort of a croak.
Bob Dylan's his brain.
But you know what? I'm not saying that those things are wrong or they're damaging to your voice, but those people are famous because they're interesting to listen to. And so I come from a school that says there's one particular way to sound, and if you don't sing that way, if you don't sound that way, then you're wrong. And many voice coaches do feel that way. But I always caution people just to, you know, think long and hard about if you're going to copy, you're going to be like Bob Dylan and you're going to copy that voice for the rest of your life. Just think about that. It will damage you. It will damage your chords. And, you know, do you want that? Is that important? Or do you just want your voice to be really healthy and just be you and all that? And a lot of times rock singers, too, you know, they can only sing for a little while and then they're kind of gone. Their voice is gone. They have to wait till they rest it for a while and sing again. But anyway, okay, so breathing. You're going to need to stand up for this one. This will get you back awake. Remember when you were holding our ribs, breathing deep? That's kind of the crux of all support and breathing. It's real easy. People try to make it real hard and mystical. But basically what it is you're taking a really deep, low breath when you want to produce a musical sound. And as you do so, your muscles that surround your rib cage are, what's that called? Expanding, flexing. You're getting, yeah.
Expanding.
Thank you. I don't lose words. Anyway, and the trick to support, this is in a nutshell, absolutely, all you have to do is to let the air come out without losing the rigidity or the expansion or whatever we want to say of the muscles that are around your ribs. Did that make any sense at all?
No.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to take a deep breath. And when I do that, my rib cage just moved out. It just moved out. So I'm going to sort of capitalize on that, and I'm going to kind of push on that. And I'm going to try to feel that my muscles are tight around my rib cage area, and my stomach's kind of out a little bit because I have a lot of air right now. I'm talking, so it's going away. But anyway, as I use the air that I just breathed in, and as it's coming out and going out into the universe, I am not going to change the way I feel muscularly down here. So it's kind of, you're kind of fighting against yourself. Naturally, what your body would want to do would be to, and then as you talk, just kind of like a balloon, deflate, and then again, and then, and when you're singing, you're supposed to, and then keep it out as the air goes out, so that you're still like this, even though the air is gone, and then you breathe it again. Did that make sense? Okay, well, let's try it, and that's how you can talk. You can feel a little bit of it. Grab your ribs, find those bones in there. They're in there somewhere. It helps me to put my thumbs in front because the most movement happens back here on my rib cage, not really in front because I have a tummy, you know, there. So I feel it better if I do this. And sometimes it's even better if you can bend at your waist so that you're really going to feel it. Now, first exhale all your air. Okay, now breathe in. Did you feel some movement there? Yes, I hope so. Don't tell me. Okay, now hold that. Now hiss it out. While you're doing that, push. Push on your ribs. Keep them out. Push. Only your ribs. Your stomach muscles are tightening. Your rib cage is still out a little bit. Okay, and you're probably gone. Okay, now let's try standing up. Oh, first of all, reactions or questions about that?
Sorry.
It's hard. Yeah, like I said, it's not something. It's not... You know, it's like riding a bicycle. I don't say, Ted, do this, and this, and he gets on the bike, and he's like, yes, I got it, and he's down the road. It has to take him a long time. You have to practice and practice for days. So you would have to do that, and go, oh, there it is. All right, let's try one standing up and see if there's a difference. Okay, ready? Move all your, okay, now breathe in. Really, really, really. Oh, wow.
So
I never had
great. Your stomach is what's doing the pushing, right?
Right. Your stomach and the muscles right around the rib cage.
I didn't take anatomy, I skipped that part, so I don't know
what... It's not your study, it's your abdomen.
Well, right, yeah, it's not down here. It's here, and it's your diaphragmatic muscles. In that area.
That's my, diaphragm.
Right. Well, that's okay. And that's what's pushing, and what needs to be strong and strengthened. An exercise you can do is to push, if you find it's, okay, it's like right at the top of the rib cage, there's sort of an area, I don't know if guys are the same way, but it goes like this. I think you are. Sternum. Thank you. That's right. This is a group session. And you can push on that. You can push and you can actually make your fingers move. You can do that.
That's just below the bone?
That's right.
Yeah, but the sternum, the space below the bone, or is the sternum the actual bone?
It should be right, but this is where I want you to push. Wow! Yeah! Yeah, yes! Cool! That type of thing is where, that's where your vocal strength is going to come from, right there. Not, down here, or not up here, but right there. And, I hurt myself because I poked myself so hard. Something that what we do, like when I do group voice classes and stuff, is we go get a partner, and then you go like that, and you push, they push in, and you go, and try to knock them across the room and stuff. But, again, that takes more than an hour. That's fun. It's fun to do. If you're sitting in a session, another person's session, or Bible study, you can do this. You can breathe in, quietly, you're doing this, and you can hold your rib cage like that, and you can, you can sit there. And they used to tell me, I love to we don't watch TV anymore, doing it. Anyway, I used to watch situation comedies and stuff for like stress relief or cartoons or something at the end of the day. And so my voice teacher got to me in this way and said, when you're watching TV, when you're watching Leave It to Beaver, you take your breaths and you hold that. And that's how I strengthened that muscle. It really helped me because it needs to be a sort of a sedentary time when I'm just thinking about that. I could be comatose about something else. That's why you shouldn't do it during Bible study, number one. Then you're not mentally all there. But anyway, that is where the support comes in, from your in your singing. And that is what support is, and that is why it's important. Or didn't really tell you why it's important, did I? It's like, did you figure it out? If you have a lot of strength down here and you can control the air channel that's coming up across your vocal cords, when you get really good, you could control whether you were doing a little teeny tiny thin pencil thin channel of air or a huge wide amount of air coming out. And you want it to be fairly small. You want to sort of conserve that when you're trying to sing. If you want to grow pure sound, then you won't have a breathy sound. Have you heard people that sing like this? Amazing grace, how sweet. That channel of air, there's like no control. There's no muscular control at all. It's just kind of floating out. But if you control it and try to make it, really thin, I don't know if I can produce this right now, but Amazing Grace, how sweet. Ooh, I was almost swallowing the air. It's a lot less breathy. And for some styles of music, you want to get that breathiness out of there. Or if you want to be really strong, you want to get the breathiness out of there. Okay, I'll let you sit down again. Wow. Took a lot of time. Okay, talk a little bit about power, breath, range. The break, have you ever heard people talking about the break in your voice? Mm-hmm. What's your break? Basically, remember when we found the low sounds that we were making and the high sounds that we were making? That's that intricate spot where they meet, the two sections of your voice meet. And your voice is going to be, the sound waves are going to be coming from, centered in, whatever, however you want to explain it, a certain area of your body, but then there's going to be that spot where you're right in the middle. And so that's your break. And a lot of times it feels like you're changing gears in a car, and you're not real good at it. it feels really blurpy right in there. And you might have a certain song or a certain hymn or something in church, and you go, I can never sing that song. It's because it's right on your break or something. It's right in the middle part of your voice. And I don't have enough time today to work with every single one of you, but you would be everybody would be totally different. You'd all be absolutely unique as to where your break would be. And that might be something that you're really curious about or that you really say, who cares?
So anyway, just to bring that up. Okay, I can't remember if I labeled the sounds that we were making, the high sounds, we call that head voice. That's pretty obvious. And then the lower sounds, like Ted was saying, it comes from here, that's called chest voice. Those are the lower. And now when I speak, you see, I'm usually speaking in chest voice. But when I sing, I'm a soprano, so I sing in head voice. So that's kind of funny. But anyway, you can also change your singing sound by doing bright tones or dark tones. And that will also change the style of the way that you're singing. And the way that you can make things sound real dark is by opening up your throat like you're going to yawn.
Like that.
Let's keep using Amazing Grace since we all know it. Let's try to sing Amazing Grace in a really dark, open sound. Now, we might equate that with sort of old voice or old fogey kind of. But there are certain sounds, types of music that really sound good like that. Let's just try it. Like, how about, is that okay?
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Okay, you know, now for a lot of male voices, that's real pleasing to me to listen to. Do you like that sound? I can hear that coming. Larry, is that right? Beautiful. And Ted, you sing like that. You're real open and just, you know, it's just beautiful. It's a darker kind of sound. For a lot of female voices, it might not sound as good. Or voices, male voices that are set higher. I get the feeling, Mr. Jeff, that you have a higher set voice.
I feel really funny when I'm singing like,
Amazing Grace.
Yeah. It's not you. Number one, it's not your personality. It gets back to that old that this instrument is part of your body thing. But also, it's just, you're not built that way. You just, you know, you have a fine bone structure, and you're just really, and John, you may be, I don't know what your voice is, higher or lower. Everywhere? Okay. All right. Well, on the other end of the spectrum, then, let's try to do a brighter sound now. Let's try to manufacture that kind of a tone. And you have questions about how to make that sound? Okay. It would be basically, the voice is I do this. When I try to, I don't know how to say a lot of these things in words. It's more of a feeling or a, you know, just kind of a, but it's like, it's like bringing your voice right out here rather than down in here. You know, you're just letting everything be right forward, very bright, very thin, crisp. Do those words kind of help with the picture? And the only way you can do it is just to goof around and try. Should you use Amazing Grace again? Just for fun.
Sure.
Okay. Let's not change the key very much. I'll do it just a little bit higher. But we don't want to equate singing dark and open with singing low. That's not necessarily. I'm talking now about color of voice. I'm not talking about range of voice. So that's something that people a lot of times equate. You know, if you're going to sing like that, like Larry or Ted, you can only sing low notes. Well, they could sing high like that, depending on how they're built. Okay, so let's do
Amazing Grace, how sweet the
just feel right here.
That saved a wretch like me.
Hard time again finding that kind of thing, start higher and just make vocal sounds like you were doing a little while ago. That's where it comes from. I was, rather than I was. You know, there's some different things. It's fun to fool around with it. It's like this instrument, it doesn't go in a case. You've always got it with you. It's really fun. I think it's fascinating. Of course, I'm weird, but okay. I don't want to let the hour go by without spending just a couple minutes talking about style. And we've been doing that. We've been sort of edging our way into that by saying you can sing bright or you can sing dark or you can sing this or you can sing that. Our voices can be used in lots of different ways, as you know, we've just been kind of talking about. You can make various colors and tones, and that's what creates a different style of singing. You don't and you shouldn't
have to sing serious art music or classical music in the same way as you would sing vocal jazz or folk. It should be different. It should feel different. Your muscles should be doing different things. Your mouth and your face will be doing different things, and the tone will be centered in a different place. It's also very much the emotion behind what type of music you're doing, or the feeling that you get, or the thoughts that you're producing. A lot of vocal technique has to do with doing mental images. Or having, like I was just doing a minute ago, I couldn't explain it to you in words, so I was just throwing out some things at you, sort of. I couldn't say a sentence, but I could say a word. I could say, right, forward, this, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's not an exact science. It's just, it's very much a feeling your body kind of, you know, goofing around with what kind of sounds you can make, science. It's also not only the emotion, but it's the way you treat the lyrics. You could sing an aria in a country western style. Think about it. You could. Jeff, you could do that. Wouldn't that be fun?
That'd be fun to do it in Vespers, I think.
Yes.
We could sing Dropkick Me Jesus as an aria.
That would be so good. That would be so funny. The way you treat the lyrics is called diction. The way you do things with your mouth to do the words is... enunciating diction. You can do it really purely and with a lot of clarity, or you can mess around with it and change it into different ethnic types of music or Ozarkian something or other, you know, and just goof around with it that way. But it's the way that you're centering the sound, and it's the tone that you use, and that's how you switch around. Different styles of music. Or does anybody have a specific style we want to spend the last couple of minutes?
I have a mechanical question before
yes.
you move on. I've always been curious about vibrato.
Oh.
It seems so natural on some people, and I don't know if it's something that just comes after you sing for a long time, if there's a particular exercise, or if you have
there are exercises. It's the glottis. It is natural for some people because they're just looser down there or something. I don't know. Or maybe that for a lot of kids, it's because it's the way they heard their parents sing or somebody that they've heard sing a lot, and they produce that sound. Think about Kelly and Kimmy, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Because Daddy and Mommy do that, and that's what they think they're supposed to do. You can produce it artificially like what I was just doing. I was being like an engine, starting an engine that won't quite start or something. Or if I'm singing, it's inside then, producing it inside. That's beautiful. Everybody in your voice does have a vibrato. It may be hard to get it vibrating that way and get it started, but you, everybody has a different speed that you go. And so it's very difficult to have everybody sound the same doing vibrato. It's something that, you know, a lot of, when you're singing group stuff, you know, you try not even to think about it. Some people, it a little bit comes out, and you just kind of, oh, well, sorry. But one way to do fast singing is to sing it on your vibrato. Like, my natural one is, ah. So if I'm going to do a scale, I might go, ah. You know, it's easier for me to do it at my vibrato tempo than it is for me to speed it up or slow it down. Those are just some sort of, I feel like I'm taking paint and just throwing it at you on a canvas. You're like, well, splat, think about this.
So how do you get to vibrate if it doesn't or if it hasn't?
Well, just make a sound with me, like go, oh, and then feel the natural sort of pulse of your voice. Oh, it's coming from down here. Oh, you may be really tight in there, you know. And you know your little, what's this little thing? Is that the glottis?
That's your index finger.
The glottis that hangs right there in your throat. Do you have adenoids and tonsils?
Yes, I have them all.
You have them all. That could really be, honestly, this is kind of weird, but that could be hindering the production of an easy vibrato for you. Because there's a lot of stuff in there. Well, not your adenoids. Where are your adenoids? Up in here. Okay, but the tonsils. Ah, gross!
But that could be. It could be. I don't know. Those areas are like intricate. I mean, people study things for like 12, 20 years just to talk about vibrato. And so I feel like I'm just rambling.
I learned a couple things. Like, I didn't know we had tempos or the desk come naturally some before, not the others.
Yeah.
It's actually really sure to know.
Right. Yeah, and if you don't, if your voice is really, you know, if you just don't produce it naturally, but you want to do it fake, you can just go from down here,
You want to discuss the reverse of that with them too, if you have too much.
Oh, yes. Like, think about, we all have the older person in our church choir who just, their voice is like way out there. And it does tend to happen sometimes when people, when they get very elderly, and they've been singing maybe for a long time, and things are just getting real loose down in there. It's just
exercise.
There's no muscular control anymore. Yeah. But yeah, exercising, just being healthy and fit in the first place will bring that under control a little bit more. But sometimes, I mean, my grandmother was, you know, three notes apart. I mean, like, that was really amazing. One point that I want to make that's sort of vastly related or distantly related to what we've been talking about today as we close, and this is just a sort of a personal philosophy that I can't leave you without talking to you about, is that if you're here, you probably have a relationship with God in some form or another, and we sometimes tend to divorce music from God, or say there is a God music and there is non-God music. And basically, what I think, and in talking about all these different types of styles today, what I think is that any type of music can become God music, or music that edifies the Creator. And that is one of the reasons why I'm so interested in doing a lot of different types of styles. From, here's a list: opera, classical, art songs, traditional folk, which is more of a old poetry set to music, show tunes, Broadway or movie themes, popular music, traditional types of music, mellow rock, commercial jazz, traditional rock and roll, New Year's Eve, harder experimental rock, or all those other names that they give that type of music that gets way out there that doesn't sound like music maybe anymore, folk, true folk music coming from all around the world, sea shanties, ethnic music, different, you know, types of cultures and different types of musical sounds, country music, country western music, jazz, traditional jazz or contemporary jazz, either one, blues or gospel, just plain old ballads or big band music, where does that fit in? All of this type of stuff is an artistic expression that we can be a part of, and even as God people, I don't know how to say that, we can express our thoughts or our feelings or experiences in that full spectrum. And I really feel that. I really believe that. And I hope that that in the future, churches will, people will worship in all of those colors and spectrums and not just say, there is one. Notice I never said on that list, hymns. You know, there is not one way of doing it. So do whatever you want, and be good to your voice, but use it and just have fun and experiment and make noises and praise, and that's what I hope for all of you. Any other questions, or do you feel like?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I have one question, not a question, but I was trying to image you gave. When you talk about dark music or dark voice, I can't picture what you're saying.
That's not maybe a good, yeah. I think open would be better. And because I'm thinking about your throat.
Yeah,
relaxed,
see that doesn't
open.
Give me a, yeah, that,
I don't want to say deep, because that would equate it with high and low.
Or heavy.
Right, heavy. I don't want to, well, heavy could, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I've been playing with words like that, but dark didn't give me a good image.
Yeah. I like bright, though, in thinking about, I'm thinking of dark and bright. I'm not thinking about, so what would be another word?
Bright and dull. Dull are two words.
Dull. Okay, that's a better
bright
word.
Bright and dull are two words.
That's a better word.
That sounds like a valley statement.
What? Bright and dull?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dull music. You don't want to sing in your dull voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's right.
singing your open, well, what we say in technical terms, in instructional things, is open voice or open throat. So that we're not, so we're saying a technical word and we're not giving a visual thing to anybody. Because you're right, see, now the way he, the reason he reacted to that is because he thought of a word and, you know, it meant something and it didn't mean the same, you know, and so you know what I mean? You can say anything, you say the. And what does that mean to you? It means something different to you and you and you and you and me. So it's very, you have to be really careful about that. But that's why a lot of times I do, I just splash things. I splash 10 images for one thing I want somebody to do. And they'll grab out of those 10, one will make sense to them and they'll grab it. And the others, they're just, I don't know what you mean. They'll just say, I don't know what you mean. So, beep, beep, I'm done. Okay, hey, thank you. It was really fun. And I, it's hard for me to put it into words, but it was good to try.
Appreciate it. No, I can do it.
No! Oh, Tim!